You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today and insert all appropriate caveats about consulting your own financial professional here, please. But we begin today with what's known in the parlance as the stay-home trade. Companies that have thrived these past 14 months because we're working at home and working out at home and relaxing at home. You might think Zoom and Peloton and Netflix in that category, all of which have been having not great runs of late as we all start staying home less and less. And sure enough, in reporting earnings this week, Netflix said in the first quarter of the year it added way fewer subscribers than anybody had been expecting. A far cry, I think you'll agree, from when everybody was watching Tiger King and the Queen's Gambit. So, what happens next for the streamers and for the rest of them who have moved a ton of product during the lockdowns? Marketplace's Mariel Segarra gets us going.
So you've heard this part before. Lots of products and businesses saw sales go through the roof during this pandemic. We were stuck at home, and we bought a lot of paint and furniture and exercise equipment and groceries.
But, you know, now that discretionary income that went towards that is going to start to go more and more towards travel and leisure.
Randy Burt is a managing director at Alex Partners. He says air travel is recovering. People want to be out in the world. And
everybody has a limit to what they can spend, and so they have to make a choice.
And when faced with a choice between, say, new flooring and a trip to Puerto Rico, someone who's been stuck at home for a year might lean towards the trip. But predicting how much sales of things for the home will drop, if they'll drop, that gets a little complicated. Denise Dalhoff is a senior researcher at the Conference Board.
I don't see that all those categories will be suffering with people going back more to public life, because people also adopted more new habits in the pandemic, and some of them will linger.
For instance, a lot of people who are currently working from home plan to continue, which means they'll still have those moments where they're staring at that cracked, stained tile floor like, I just can't look at this anymore. So home improvement might do okay. Eric Easter is CEO of Kittles Home Furnishings, a furniture and mattress store in Indianapolis. He says another thing working in his company's favor, the savings rate, is at an all-time high.
People's individual balance sheets are stronger than they've been in many, many years. So yes, they can probably take a trip, but they can also afford some new furniture.
At least that's his hope. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
The big industrial hope in this economy right now is semiconductors, getting lots and lots of semiconductors. Because as we've been telling you, the lack of them has been slowing down production of everything from cars to computers to appliances. Ford said today, actually, that it's going to keep 5 assembly plants across North America closed for an extra 2 weeks. They're already closed. They're going to close an extra 2 weeks, including a plant that makes the F-150 pickup, Ford's biggest moneymaker. The Biden administration has been trying to raise the red flag. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo told a Senate committee yesterday that our chip supply chain is, and these are her words, a national security risk and an economic security risk. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour has more on that one.
Here's the issue with semiconductors. They're in everything, including military equipment, and we don't have enough of them. The U.S. dominates in designing them, but doesn't make the most advanced ones. The most cutting-edge semiconductors are made in Taiwan.
Yes, it's not mainland China, but should we rely so much on a single company to be able to manufacture these advanced chips?
Damian Ma heads the Macro Polo Institute think tank. President Biden's infrastructure package has $50 billion in it to boost the U.S. chip industry. It's a lot of money, but not in semiconductor world.
It's not going to move the needle that much.
Stacey Razgon is a semiconductor analyst at Bernstein Research. He says, look at what the global leader, Taiwan-based TSMC, is doing.
TSMC, which is a single company, is getting ready to spend $100 billion over the next 3 years versus $50 billion in the U.S. over multiple years for the entire U.S. semiconductor industry. I mean, it's not that big.
Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said that money would be matched with multiple times that amount in private spending. But Razgon says building up a U.S. manufacturing capacity needs more than money. He says you need immigration and education reform to staff a bunch of plants. And turning inward isn't the whole solution, according to Tatiana Bolton with the R Street Institute.
The answer is not completely onshoring semiconductors and every other item that we make across the world.
She says the U.S. just needs to maintain some minimum viable amount of manufacturing capacity and then go to allies,
using our allies and partners in a network of interconnected manufacturing and production so that we are secure.
$50 billion is, she says, a start. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.